Welcome to Jesus Experience. You are designed to receive from God the life of His Son, Jesus Christ. And through the life of Christ in you, you will live and affect the world around you. Now, here is Dr. Gary V. Whetstone.
Victory in Christ. And this week is going to be, I believe, a very significant week to set a course of action for our future. And the Lord spoke in my spirit, I guess, a few Saturday mornings ago, that as it is in heaven is what God's really called us to function in and affect the earth by. So we're going to take that theme this morning and open up the scriptures and deal with it. But I want everybody to take out your little decree sheet. It says 2012. Everybody get one out. If you don't have one, the ushers have extras there. But inside your bulletin, there should be one. And on Friday night, we're getting together at 8 o'clock and making decrees as it is, as God has it in heaven, so that what we speak, what we know, what we think, what we see, what we act on, and what we experience is as it is in heaven. Because God has not ordained us to react to the natural and bring it to God. If you think about your prayer life, God has never ordained our life to live out a normal course of action and tell God about it. I mean, think about prayer. There's nowhere in the scripture that it says, live a life in the natural and remind God he needs to help you. It's just not there. It says he knows your need before you what? Ask. So then we have a big issue. Because if prayer is in the dynamic of, I'm going through this, God help me. I'm facing this, God change it. I have to get out of this, God lift me out. I need more, God give it to me. Then everything that is happening in heaven must be driven by earth. But that's not how Jesus taught us to even relate to him. He never spoke to us to relate to him from the text and experience we have on earth. He spoke to us to relate to him from his throne. So let's pray together and let God just open up our eyes. Father, we thank you for unveiling Christ within us, that in this day and hour of your word, we can step over the threshold of our natural life and step into the knowledge and experience of living in you. God, what we see, what we hear, what we understand, what we take action on, what we speak, what we experience must be from your throne and not from our humanity. God, you did not send your son to die for us so that we could have the best on this earth. You sent your son to die for us so we could have the best you have in heaven. So that what is reserved in heaven for us, God, is our experience. And Lord, we are not settling anything on this earth that the earth has. God, we're settling that what we are in resurrection, what you raised us to, is our portion and lot. And the life of Christ you've given to us to live is a life we manifest on this earth. And we thank you, Lord, for unveiling truth in our inner man in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a look over here with me to Matthew chapter 6 for a moment. If you're with us, how many of you were here last night? How many of you were here? All right, probably about a half of us at least. So if you think about what we opened up last night was a scripture in Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus was teaching us to pray. And as he opened up the scriptures, he says, look in verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. So let's just think for a moment of a person who has no real fellowship with God, and so they think God will move because they are reminding God of their circumstance. So just think of that context. He says, don't be that way. Jesus said, after this manner, well, it says, be not like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. Now, if we put this in text, the heathen, the people that have no fellowship with God, have a mindset that as they speak in repetition, whether it's a mantra, whether it's some type of a chant, whether it is a constant acknowledging of God in his state of existence, and therefore, because of their acknowledging of him, God will then obligate himself to do something on our behalf. that there's a mindset that as long as the words keep coming out of me, God will become attentive to me and do something on my behalf. And Jesus said, wait a minute. I've lived with the Father from the origin of our existence, which there is none. So there's never been a time that I haven't been with the Father. And he knows everything before you ever have need of it. And he not only knows it, but he has set the full provision of it to come to manifestation. So there's a way in which you are designed to interact with the Father. And something's been really stirring inside of my spirit in this light. And it's that we really pray illegal prayers when we remind God of our humanity. We take an act of illegal action, denying and defying the sacrifice, to tell God what it's like on this side of Calvary. Think about the preaching of the cross is the power of God, right? So then if our point of relationship with God is from the resurrection, then we can never look to our Father. Let's look at how he says we are to pray. He says in verse 9, after this manner therefore pray, and you say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I want you to stop for a moment and look at these two words, or these two phrases in verse 10. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It doesn't say and. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So you cannot get the exercising of the authority of the kingdom of God without the will of God being done. It's interesting when you look at the scripture, and we're going to go into some of these things this morning and see that what God does in his dominion at the throne of the Father is a static place, a constant place of the work of his kingdom is finished. So when we pray, we're praying a finality. We're praying an authority. We're praying a relationship of our life with our Father in heaven. Take a look over here with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1. And look at the relationship that Peter amplifies that you have with your Father. 1 Peter chapter 1. It says in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now stop for a moment. There was a period of time in my life where I perceived that my salvation experience began when I received Jesus. God's word says my salvation experience began when God rose Jesus from the dead. That it originated in God before I was ever born. How many of you are an eternal being? You have eternal life. And we know the text of eternity has no beginning and no end because it's a continuum of life as far past in existence as is as far forward. So then if in Christ Jesus, and that's why the Bible says Jesus was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and he has begotten us again unto a lively hope, a supernatural hope that is resident in heaven to manifest in us by one act, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, I want you to consider the difference between God putting expectation in you of what has been completed in his resurrection versus what you are expecting from God based on your humanity. How many think there's a difference of hope? I mean, think about the different plane of hope that exists. If we are born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and that living hope emanates from his resurrection, then everything that's before his death cannot be in that hope because he does not give you hope in the cross. It's interesting that we don't hope Jesus died for us. How many of you don't hope Jesus died for you? There's not a reference in the scripture, hope, that he died for you, right? Because we don't have hope that he died for us. God did not give us a hope that Jesus died for us. Because he wouldn't give us expectation for something that's already finalized. God doesn't give you hope that Jesus died. Now just think of the text of what we're sharing. You can look on a natural plane, and hope has a future expectation. So God, in his reference to your life, he gives you hope, but it has nothing to do with your humanity to the death of Jesus. Because that is finished. It's done. It's complete. It's finalized. Our hope in God is what comes in resurrection into our life from his throne. That is called a living hope. So let's put a perspective from hope in Jesus' death. The only hope I would have in Jesus' death is if I wasn't saved. Right? And I would hope that God made a provision for me in salvation and his blood was enough to save me. But I've never met anybody who said to me, I hope Jesus' blood was enough. Have you ever met somebody who said, I hope his blood was enough? I've never heard that statement. Have you ever heard that statement? Well, let's just look at another statement. Think about, I hope Jesus became curse enough for my life. How many of those terms don't mix, do they? It's like you can't match the first part of the sentence to the second part because they don't match. I can't hope that what Jesus did in his death is effective in my life because there isn't hope for it. There's the knowing of it. God gives evidence and testament to the reality. Think about what a testament is. A testimony of the scripture, a new testament, a new covenant, must have the death of the testator. So the one who is bringing the will into manifestation must have died before the testament can be communicated, right? So whatever that person was up to their death, I can hope that my father was a good man. That doesn't work, does it? The only thing I can do is hope that what he left me, I get. Right? I mean, let's put it into perspective. I can hope that what he left me, I get. But I don't have hope in what he was before he died. Because you can't hope to the past. Just like you can't hope to the cross. There is no hope to the cross. There's the experience of the cross. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So there's something that emanates from the cross of Calvary in our salvation, and that is the constant washing of sin. Let me just give you another perspective of hope. How many of you do not have a hope that he would forgive you of your sins? How many of you don't have a hope? I mean, I never say to the Father, Father, I hope you forgive me. I mean, there is no hope in me. There's knowledge. I am. Every time I come before the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God through a new and a living way, that is to say, through the veil of his flesh, and I come to the knowledge, or through the knowledge of him, and I have knowledge that I am forgiven. How many of you live in the knowledge of being forgiven? So you don't have hope you're forgiven. You have knowledge you're forgiven. Now let's look at the difference between knowledge and hope. The natural hope lives on a human plane. It says, I hope this is fresh water. That's a natural hope. It says, I hope wherever this came from, it's worth drinking. So there's natural hope, right? But if I drank it, I'm going to believe I don't get sick. I'm not going to hope I don't. I'm going to, because I'm not, I can hope for a future event, but once it's past, there's no more hope in it. Because hope has future expectation. Even natural hope, carnal hope, the natural hope of looking for something to happen in your life. Abraham had a promise. He'd be the father of many nations. His age got to such a degree that the natural hope became impossible to even hope for. So it says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. So God had spoken, and it's interesting, what God spoke to Abram was a hope of resurrection. Because even when Abram took the sword to the knife to kill his son Isaac, he had expectation that God would even raise the dead. There's something happening in the atmosphere of the resurrection of Jesus in your life that if we can identify it, we can have it defined, we can have the experience of it. And that's what we're dealing with in this text of understanding that we have, as it is in heaven, the decree of existence and experience in 2012. So just take a look at it, the natural hope. It has future expectation, but when the natural hope is gone, you don't have hope in the cross. You have hope in what is in resurrection life that God has secured for the future. So let's look on and see how this works. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto, meaning I'm born again to, a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it says, to what?
An inheritance.
An inheritance. That is incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, and it's reserved where? For who? It's for you. And then it says, who are kept by the power of God unto salvation, or through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now let's put the thoughts together. Here you are in resurrection life, born again, and you live in a supernatural expectation that emanates from God your Father. But your expectation, you're not born again to natural events working out. You're born again to an inheritance that's reserved in heaven for you, that's undefiled, that reserved, and that it never fades away. Time can never diminish it. And it's reserved for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last moments, the last time, the era of that statement of your existence. Now, how does this work in my life? How do I know what's in heaven? What is the means found in this scripture that tells me what is reserved in heaven for me? What is the medium of communication? I mean, if I think about, I give you a cell phone, then the cellular tower and the communication of my cell phone to the tower to your cell phone is our medium of communication, right? If you have a television and we are doing teleconferences, there's a medium of visual communication. So you can expect a personal image, a conversation. You could expect text. You could expect graphs. You could expect things coming through a GoToMeeting or something of that nature. Have you ever been in a telecommunication where there's a physical image of another person and you were able to get data across that medium and it was communicated to you through another person? Ever experienced that? So what was the medium? What was the means by which it was transmitted? It was transmitted, whether it was by wire or by air, but it was transmitted from man to man by electronic means. What's the means that God transmits what is reserved in heaven for you? How does he communicate it to you? He just said it. Look at it. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a what? Lively hope, a living expectation by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. So my living expectation is by Jesus and resurrection to a secured existence that's reserved where? In heaven. That does what happens in time? Never fades away. Can it ever become corrupted? What is the medium that God uses? I'm not talking about a seance medium. I'm talking about the means by which God communicates. What is the means by which God communicates to you? Hope. It's the living expectation that does not come from this earth. So if you and I are going to have, as it is done in heaven, as it is in heaven, as it is reserved in heaven, as it is secured in heaven, we need to have the right medium of understanding, because I cannot get what is in heaven by humanity's needs.
Thank you for listening to this Jesus Experience teaching with Dr. Gary V. Whetstone. We want to connect with you at your Jesus Experience. Please visit our website, JesusExperience.com, where you can view our complete teaching archives, enroll in our free School of Biblical Studies, watch live services, and communicate with us. You can connect with Jesus Experience on Facebook and Twitter, or if you prefer, please call us at 1-302-561-6800. That's 1-302-561-6800. Share with us as we share with you.